Thanks for tuning into the Let's Get Ready Network, the place for coverage of all the things you love. On this feed, we cover movies, TV, video games, and more. If you're interested in supporting the network, you can do so on our Patreon at patreon.com/LGR_network. And please leave a rating and a review of this episode. Enjoy the show, everyone.
Be there.
All right, guys, we just got through watching episode 3 and episode 4, going back and watching The Rings of Power. Adelia's a big, huge Lord of the Rings fan. So is French in here. I know Greg keeps confusing it with Star Wars, so I don't know where he stands as far as fandom. But there we go. We just got through watching those. We're going to talk about them for a second here with the instant Patreon reaction of after we get through watching these shows. We're going to be doing this probably more often, even with different shows and stuff. Right now, we're just doing Rings of Power. So if I'm not mistaken, Adelia hadn't even watched it yet, even though she's a big Lord of the Rings fan. So this is the first time she's actually watching it. So let's get their thoughts.
All right, I'll start. I don't know why I was so hesitant to watch this series. I just, the whole, like, the movies are so special to me and the books are so special to me that, like, anybody's new take on it sometimes can just really drive me insane. But this is phenomenal. I really enjoyed the first four episodes. I'd seen the first two episodes last week prior to rewatching them. These episodes today I had never seen before. I am convinced that Halbrand is Sauron, but I don't know yet if that's the case. I think we've seen Sauron a number of times now. I don't think that we've just seen him as Halbrand. And I don't know if what Galadriel is doing with Mariel and the Numenoreans is good or bad yet. But I think it's cool that the Numenoreans are not going to just sit there and succumb to their fate, as the Palantir told Mariel, of the Great Wave, which is the title of the fourth episode. But I am very intrigued as to where this is going. I love that we saw Elendil. I love that we saw Isildur. These were two really good episodes.
Go ahead, French.
I absolutely agree. I've watched the whole season a few times, so I knew everything that was going to happen, but to watch it again and really take some time to pay attention, like I don't always do, has been fun. Because you're seeing the layers and knowing where the breadcrumbs are and looking for them has been fun to see, to hang out with some other people who are maybe not seeing them or are catching them earlier than I did for sure the first time around. And also, as I mentioned earlier on the Patreon part, they're introducing already that in Tolkien, omens are never coincidences. Mm-hmm. If the legend says that if this happens, something else is going to happen, you can bet that if one thing happens, the other thing will happen. And again, they've done a great job of tying to the Silmarillion, where, Numenor's fate, those of us who have read any of that know that by the time of the movies that everybody else knows, that this has already happened and it doesn't end well. But we're going to see it from a perspective we haven't really seen it before, because we've always heard it, even in the Silmarillion, it was kind of third person. So this is going to be very interesting. Both the rest of this season and moving forward is going to be interesting. And
good stuff. But also, before we move on to Greg and his thoughts, we had you were talking about something right before I hit the button to start this actual reaction here. I thought it was pretty interesting. Tell everybody what you were talking about with the snowflakes.
The petals on a tree. The idea that omens in Tolkien are never coincidences. Those petals, you know, they layered it into that episode of the story of the petals on the white tree of Numenor. And if they fall, that's, you know, the Valar, which again, in the Tolkien legendarium, the Valar are kind of like, you know, Olympian gods sort of things. That's where they are in the power structure. Yeah. And suddenly, you know, when they were going to kick Galadriel out on her ass with nothing, the leaves started to fall and they're like, whoa, hey, God's judging us right now. Maybe we should rethink this and do something else. And then that was how the episode ended. Is the new plan is anyone who volunteer, you know, those who volunteer and want to go on this expedition can go and raise hell in Middle Earth. But again, having read the things before and having seen the rest of this, I know where this is going, and I can't wait for everybody else to take the trip.
Nice, man. Greg, what did you think?
So wait, quick question. So that omen got them all on board?
More or less, yeah. I mean, that stopped. You got to think about Muriel. The queen was ready to kick Galadriel right off the island. And then the leaves started to fall, and she thought it through. That gave her a pause to stop and rethink things. Like, wait a minute, if this is happening, something that means something, and what I'm doing isn't right, I need to change it. So she goes back on what she was going to do, and now she's going to take Galadriel herself with a small army of whoever wants to go to Middle Earth and raise trouble.
So was the tidal wave metaphorical? Like, the end will come to you if you don't, you know.
Yes and no.
Was necessary, or was it like a real, supposed to be like a real way of taking them out?
Both. Okay. At this point, it's metaphorical. But again, for those of us who know the history of Numenor from the, you know, from the Third Age, from the Lord of the Rings that everybody else knows, you know, kind of we've all read. From the Third Age, when that happens, the fate of Numenor, yeah, everybody knows what happened to them. Numenor was destroyed by a great wave. We know that happened, and now Muriel and the characters there are getting a premonition that that's going to happen.
Okay.
But how it happens is not quite developed in the story we're looking at so far. Maybe that's the second season thing.
Okay, bet. All right, thanks. Just a couple of things. The things that really stick out to me is how beautiful it is. Like, from city to city, just shot different scenes. Just absolutely gorgeous. The fighting's badass. Like, the elves going to town, like, fighting. Like, oh, that stuff was badass. And just following everybody's, having every, it was intricate, you know, following all these quests on of what people are going through, you know. I thought it just really engaging. It's not really like distracting, like bouncing from place to place, for me at least. And I just enjoying the whole thing all together. I think it's beautifully done. I've enjoyed it. And I can't want to watch the episode every day. I mean, every minute, but I can't. So, but I've really enjoyed the series for.
Nah, man, nice. Yeah, I was going to say, I totally agree with Greg. It looks beautiful. Now, one of the things that I would say, I think knowing a lot of the lore, knowing a lot of the stuff actually makes it a little bit better. So, like, French is really into it. Like I said before we started, you also have, you, Adelia, who, like, loves the series. So, like, you know way more than I do. And there's, like, things that I think is kind of cool watching it with you guys, because y'all get like hyped up when certain things looks like they're about to happen, or y'all see a certain character, right? I don't know a lot of these like characters. Only I know the characters from like Lord of the Rings, right? And some of those people that would be involved and everything else. So I think it's kind of cool watching it with you guys and seeing y'all's moments, or y'all seeing these other characters that y'all knew about that not a lot of people, like, if you don't deep dive into the lore, you don't know. So that part's cool. The one thing about it is the way they set up, was it Galadriel? Is that how you say her name? Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that right? The way they set her up, I think one problem with me is, and it's not like it's a huge problem to where I'm like, oh, God, this series is ruined kind of thing. It's like the way she acts, and maybe this is how she's supposed to be, like as far as books and everything else in canon, but it's like she's supposed to be, like, to me, she's not likable. Like, she's not hateable either. I mean, it's kind of, I know it's kind of weird. It's kind of like there's certain moments I think, oh, she's kind of cool. And there's certain moments where I'm like, man, dude, like, she's kind of a douchebag, you know? Like, and for her to be like, what it looks like to be is like the main character, the main person. She's not the only person that we're following, but the main person that we're following, I think, is like, I don't know. I'll figure it out after the season's over with. You know, maybe her character gets more and more likable as we go. There's a certain thing she does and how she acts. It's like, I'm kind of like, you know, but like I'm saying, she's supposed to be like this great elf, and maybe the elves are supposed to be kind of snobby acting in a certain ways and stuff like that. It's just a couple of things she's done as a character to where I'm just not like, I'm not like 100% rooting for her. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't, get like, and even if you have a character that has that kind of arc where they're kind of like, maybe they're a little snobby, maybe they're a little bit whatever, you can do stuff in the story to make them like likable either way. Like, for instance, you could take a character like John Wick. He was an assassin. He killed people for money. He's not a good person, but they did things around him, right? Like his puppy dog getting killed. That then, no matter what bad thing he ever did before the movie started and everything else, and you realize his character, that's all washed away. Like, nobody cares anymore. They want to see this guy get revenge for the dog. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he had that likability or whatever and everything else. And you also have people just love Keanu Reeves as a person as well. And this actress, I don't know, like, how big she is. So, like, she's not as well known. Like, I don't know a lot about her. But it's like, I don't know what I think about her. And she's supposed to be the main leading character that could run into a problem with, I can see where, like, some people's like, man, I'm supposed to be cheering for this girl, but I really don't want to. I'm in that spot where I'm not cheering against her, but I'm not cheering for her kind of situation. Everything else in the show, beautiful looking, man. Scenery's cool. I like the set pieces, the wardrobes, the music, like you talked about, even the opening of the show. And everything else. And I don't really have a problem anywhere else so far in the storytelling as of yet. I haven't seen anything that like ruins it for me. That's like super bad or anything like that.
And something to remember and to remind kind of everyone, and Hambone, you brought it up, as far as Galadriel and some of the other characters that we know from Lord of the Rings is there are thousands of years that are going to pass between what we're watching now and the characters we knew from the other stories.
So they are going
to be very different. Yes, Galadriel is very, very different, and she's going to become that person that we know from the movies.
Right, but like, here goes the thing, though. I don't think she's a good example of that, French, because if I'm not mistaken, she is like the high elf or whatever you want to call her that we get glimpses of during the Lord of the Rings original trilogy that they did. Like, she's like this glowing light coming off of her, right? She's that elf that they see, and she gives them like the little elf bread or whatever, and like so they don't get hungry and stuff, and they can keep going.
Yep.
Like, because her character didn't do a whole lot in the original series. Like, you just saw her a couple of times, but she does seem kind of high and mighty in there. So, like I was saying, maybe her character is supposed to have this, like, high and mighty, almost like a snobbish feel to it. I'm just saying they need to do something around that. Right. Yeah. And maybe that's just the character.
The elves.
Yeah.
That's the elves.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And with that being said, though, I'm saying, like, something in the story that, like, gets you to really get behind and root for her. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, somebody like me that doesn't know a lot of her backstory and stuff, it's just hard. Like, there's other characters that are on the good side that I'm more willing to jump behind. Like, I'm going to use this because I don't know his name. I am super bad at names. Even like 30 coins we do a review of, I just say who they are or what they look like half the time. Oh, the priest, just because I'm super bad with names. But when it comes to it, so like the elf And I'm going to say this just because it's descriptive. The Black Elf, like that guy, he's really super cool.
Arondir.
Yeah. Sorry.
Arondir, new character.
So that guy's really super cool. I like him. I'm rooting for that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like one mm-hmm. moment, Greg gets super hyped doing this is because he shows up at that 1 minute to save that boy, you know, of that girl that he's obviously like probably boinking or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Shoulders made.
So like, but yeah. So
Bronwyn, like her name is Bronwyn.
I know.
But he shows up at the right time and does the thing. And you're like, hell yeah. Like he seems like this cool guy that really wants to like save humanity or everybody, right? Like elves and humans and everything else. Like he's really good, easy to get behind, right? And then even the old Patty Foots, you know what I'm saying? They're like, no, that's not
the Harfoots. The
old Patty Foots, like, yeah, but isn't one of their name like they're the Harfoots, but then they all have different family names.
Got a problem with the Irish Shamble?
No, I'm just saying, like, their characters are kind of cool, right? They obviously remind you of the Hobbits and everything else. And the dwarf guy,
supposed to think, yeah.
The dwarf guy and his wife and stuff to me so far are pretty cool. Like they're easy to get behind and root for. And then you have like one centerpiece that's like, to me is kind of like, okay, well, I don't even, you know, man, she kind of like, you know, I don't know if I'd be friends with her in real life. You know what I'm saying? So the other characters I'm behind.
No, you wouldn't.
I'm lagging behind on her for whatever reason. Like, you know what I'm saying?
She's an elven queen and you're a ham bone. No, you two wouldn't be friends.
I'd probably tell her to stick it. You know what I'm saying? Like, to be honest with you, I don't want to get a drink at the local tavern with her.
But some human wandered into the woods. Distract him.
Bro, I'd love to have a drink with all the other characters. You know what I'm saying? So, like, even the elf that's, like, with the dwarves right now, like, he's a really cool character, right? Like, he...
Elrond.
Right, exactly. Now, I know he's, like, the high elf, like, the leader kind of, like, during the time of Lord of the Rings. He's the guy, right?
Weaving.
Yeah, exactly. So, he's all.
Yeah, but right now he's middle management.
Right, yeah. But he's cool though because, like, to me, he feels for that dwarf, even though he may be there on a mission to do something else. He actually really does have feelings and really has a friendship with the dwarves, and that's what I'm saying is like Galadriel doesn't have that, so there's like nothing for me to grasp onto.
Galadriel right now is singular focused on killing Sauron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I think Halbrand is Sauron, because she's so focused on this evil that she can't see what's right in front of her.
And that's so very elvish. It's very Tolkien, where, like, you know, Faron with the Silmarils, they're so, like, he wanted those back and he would do anything to get those back.
Mm-hmm.
Galadriel wants Sauron dead for killing her brother. And she will do anything. She will tell any lie. She will steal. She will do whatever she's got to do to try and get to Sauron. And she's not realizing yet how bad that's affecting her.
Now, as...
especially rolling with current company, she's going to learn the hard way.
As, like, Lord of the Ring fans and stuff and knowing some of the story, do you actually like... I mean, it does seem like y'all are enjoying the show, so I'm going to guess just y'all's answers would be, yeah, y'all like it, but is there anything that you don't like that they may have changed a little bit, or have they pretty much stuck to what the story should be?
I'm enjoying it so far.
The sense of time seems a little weird. It's jumpy.
Yeah.
Almost Nolan-esque, where it's like, no, you can't sail a ship that fast. Not according to that map. Either that or those maps are wrong.
I mean, I understand that, like, when it comes to certain stuff, then you're wanting to kind of, like, hurry it up. Do we really have to have, like...
Oh, yeah, I get that.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's one of those silly, nitpicky, lore nerd kind of things. But overall, I this was supposed to be something new. Okay, we're taking what little we know about the Second Age, which is little.
Right.
We got like 20, 25 pages-ish telling us about the Second Age of Middle-earth.
So they have a lot of freedom here is what you're saying.
They have a lot of freedom knowing where these characters are going to end up at the end of the Third Age.
That's kind of what I like about the House of Dragon, which is the you know, Game of Thrones like thing that's coming out. We already had season one. Season two is supposed to be coming. is that even though it's something that they have a little more detail of, it's actually the book that it's about, or this part of the story that it's about, is like basically written as a history book. So it doesn't tell you all the details. It just tells you so-and-so dies. Maybe they tell you how he dies in the history book, but like, you don't know how it got to that point. You don't know all the details, all the inner workings and stuff. So they got a little freedom to be able to work with that. And maybe that's kind of cool about this and everything else. But, you know, I was just wondering.
It's the same kind of thing, Hambone. Yeah, we have the Silmarillion, parts of the Silmarillion, and the appendices. You know, Tolkien had a lot of appendixes to the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, like a lot.
Fleshing out
a
backstory
lot.
On characters and kingdoms and areas and lands. And he had a lot of detail that never made the actual prose that mm-hmm. they can play with and make the story that works for the story that works for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and in the movies, the majority of the Aragorn and Arwen storyline comes from the appendices. It's not part of the actual book.
Nice.
And if anything, you know, Aragorn and Arwen is something that, like, from the Silmarillion, there's Beren and Luthien.
And Luthien.
And those were two stories that were written simultaneously that, after the fact, Tolkien kind of sewed together as a prequel and a sequel. Mm-hmm. And now Amazon is playing with the middle part.
Yeah. You know, before we get out of here, I'll say this. Like, I'm a very honest, like, whenever I'm talking about my feelings about a show or whatever, I'll tell you I don't like it or whatever. I'm enjoying this show. And because of what we do here, we do reviews and we try to pay attention to certain things. You know, I saw some negativity on, like, the Twitters and the X or whatever you want to call it and all this kind of stuff about the Rings of Power. And I'm not seeing why people disliked it as much as I saw some people on those on the internet and everything else so far. Like, I've actually seen I don't see any kind of, like, really dumb things happening or any of that. Like, and I personally don't care about any of the, you know, I even saw stupid stuff being said, like, oh, elves are supposed to be all white. Man, screw all that crap, man. This is
There was a lot of that. You can't have black dwarves and shit like that when the cast was first announced.
Yeah.
So
that shit's stupid, like, to me.
That's
like,
beyond dumb.
Yeah, that's dumb to me. Like I said, one of my favorite characters so far is the actual black elf, right? Like, character.
Baron is a great character.
He's been acted well. I think he's portrayed well. Like I said, I'm kind of rooting for him. So, like, I'm gonna be, like, you know, 100% honest about that stuff and tell people. Like I said, and the only drawback I've got so far is Galadriel not being that, like, fist pumping person. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes there's been a couple of times where I've been like, man, it'd be cool if somebody walked up and slapped her. You know what I'm saying? Like, slap that taste out of mouth.
She does, especially when she was talking with Mariel in the beginning of the third episode. She's very entitled. But that's an elf.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's like, and I totally agree. That's what I'm talking about. Is like, I don't know if that's supposed to be because she's an elf and because she's, like, this higher up, and they probably, a lot of them would look down on people and stuff. But like I said, it'd be cool if they throw something in her character to where she may gets humbled a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, maybe she starts appreciating, maybe, like, doing certain things. But then again, she may not. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, she becomes this glowing angel looking thing in the original Lord of the Rings. You know what I'm talking about? So we'll find out. Has anybody got any last words before we get out of here? Brandy, if you happen to still be awake. Because let people know.
I don't think she is.
Some of us aren't on camera because they either worked or whatever. I was eating watching this and stuff because, like, I get off work late.
I got a replacement coming.
Yep. And but beyond that, it's almost 2:00 in the morning Central Time right now. So, like, you know what I'm saying? We all not at our best. So please excuse that. I'm using the Circle Let's Get Ready Network as an advertisement, is what I
have you seen it before? I will say the second half is going to get intense. So I can't wait to watch it with y'all.
So far, I've enjoyed it. And like I said, I'm not as big of a huge, like, Lord of the Rings fan. I'm more into the Star Wars and some other IPs. But this right here has actually been pretty good. Now, I enjoy the original movies. You know, I kind of agree with other people's The Hobbits movies wasn't all that great. But to me, that's what happens when you try to take one book into three movies.
When you take a book as small as The Hobbit is and page count and make it into three films, the films are not going to be good. They're just not.
That's just how it is. Well,
especially when three films are like two different movies grafted together into one story with three films.
Yeah.
We can go on. Yeah, we'll go on about this afterwards.
But all right, guys, with that being said, man, we are out of here. Good night. Sleep well. And we'll see you on the next one. And if you would like to join us on these, going back and watching some of these older shows or any of that, join the Patreon and come and join us, man.
Patreon.com/LGR_network.
That's it.
What day is that?
Yeah. And like and subscribe, man. But without that being said, I'd like to thank the Patreons that were here tonight. And let's get out of here, man. Until next time. Peace.
Hey, Ben.
Sorry, Francis stepped on him.